From our secret bunker deep under the frozen Canadian tundra of the foothills of the magnificent Rockies. On the first day of winter, December the 21st, 2012, currently in Calgary, we are deep into the first cold snap of the season, plummeting to deep into the minus 20s overnight Celsius, that is, with a high of minus 18 Celsius for Saturday. The first day of winter, December the 21st, 2012, a day which has been used as a beacon of understanding since the 60s. Hippies would praise the date and religious zealots would doom it, all contrived from misinterpretation of claimed holy scripts and Mayan hieroglyphs. The 21st is, according to some, the end of the world. Condemnation, which is prophesied in the great Christian Bible, the Torah of the Jews, the great book of Islam, the Quran, and of course, to others, it is a new dawning of an enlightened age. As the Mayan calendar comes to an end, it begins again a long count, cyclical in perfect harmony with the physical realm. A new dawning is before us. New Age believers have many paths to travel. Tonight is just one of those paths.
Looking to email the show? TerraChat2012@gmail.com or come to our blog, NightTalkRadio.com. Phone lines are open 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. The pontificator of paranormal phenomenon, Colin Knight.
I bet you couldn't say that more than three times, could you? Good evening, everyone. Before we get started, today has been declared a National Remembrance Day in the United States as we remember the innocent children that were recently slaughtered at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. There are really no words or sane understandings that can accept the actions of a madman. And their lives should not and will not be in vain. And they will be in our thoughts over this Christmas period and beyond. Tonight is a two-hour special, so grab a bevy, get the speed dial ready, kick back and relax, because this is the Night Zone. We're at nighttalkradio.com, and it's going to be a bumpy ride tonight, I think. But it's going to be a lot of fun.
The Kepler satellite has identified 2,000 planets orbiting other star systems. So tonight, when you look at the night sky, realize that somebody could be looking back at you. Now, if there is a life form out there, they could be literally millions of years ahead of us. The universe is 13.7 billion years old, so a million years is nothing compared to the age of the universe. And for the most part, I think they're going to be friendly. But if they are hostile, it would be like Bambi meeting Godzilla if we ever had to fight them.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
Well, realize that if they're that advanced, they can reach the Earth from a distant star. They are already thousands of years ahead of us in technology. And we would present no military challenge to such an advanced civilization. Now realize, for the most part, there are lots of uninhabited planets with resources on them. So if they can reach the Earth, they can certainly reach other planets that are uninhabited. So for the most part, I think they're going to leave us alone. But if one of them is hostile, watch out. We would be a pushover for them. Forget all the Hollywood movies.
This is Night Talk Radio on NightTalkRadio.com.
We have an eclectic gathering of special guests tonight, from peace and love to the paranormal, and of course, updates on the New World Order and the future of mankind. And our first guest that will be coming up in a few moments is our good friend, Paul Dale Roberts. He's out there in California. He's actually at a Christmas party, so brace yourself. It could get a little chaotic. He's a prolific writer, submits his writings on nighttalkradio.com on a very regular basis and other prestigious websites. Paul Dale Roberts will be up in just a few seconds, so let me go get him. That's a good idea. And as I mentioned, kicking us off tonight is Paul Dale Roberts out of California, probably having a heck of a lot better weather than we are tonight. Good evening, Paul. Welcome back to Night Talk.
Hey, Colin. How you doing?
I know it's
been a long time, huh?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, we took a little bit of a hiatus there. We let the elections roll through, and there was no point in fighting the election fever. So we took a little time off, but we're back, and good to hear you. How are you doing, sir? How are you personally?
I've been doing fine. I've been doing a lot of investigations and everything else, so I've been busy, busy, busy.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you the same question I ask you each time, Paul. Has the paranormal activity increased over the last 6 months?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and I had are we already on there?
Oh, yes, we're up live. Yep.
We're up live already. I got the strangest call today. I actually got a call from a police officer with the Oakland Police Department.
All right.
And he goes, "I'm Officer so-and-so, blah, 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 with the Oakland Police Department, and da-da-da, and we have a situation," and he starts explaining about this woman who makes claim that she's being attacked by a demon and blah, 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 and that this is on a spiritual level and it's not in their jurisdiction or whatever, if I would call her. And I said, "Is this a joke?" And he goes, no, this is the paranormal hotline, right? And I go, yeah, it's the paranormal hotline. And he says, can you please give her a call? I said, okay, I will. So I called her, and I said, did you really notify the Oakland Police Department? And she goes, yes, I did. And I said, and they referred you to me? And she goes, yes, they looked you up, and there's your phone number. And she goes, can you help me? And I said, yes, I'll help you. So anyway, so it seems like this demonic entity is actually physically attacking her, leaving bruises. She's even has a few scars from past events. So yeah, so that kind of blew me away that the police are actually calling the paranormal hotline.
Well, now, especially now that you're getting referrals from the police. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. No, and it's going to be difficult, though, because you are going to get some negative people. You are going to get some very difficult cases. So do you know yet what this spirit is that's on her back?
I don't. And what I need to do is actually get my investigators over there. I have a couple really, really exceptional psychics that they're almost like 100%. They're so good. They astonish me. I mean, I'm going to bring them along and try to get some evidence or either debunk it or find some natural explanations for it or whatever. But she's actually claiming that she has bruises and the scars to show it. So we'll see.
Interesting. I would think, like you say, it's too early to tell, probably. But and you just talked to her this weekend, I guess, coming up.
No, I just talked to her tonight.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, and I wasn't able to talk to her that long. So I told her I'll talk to her more tomorrow and get more information.
Excellent.
And I basically told her, I said, I have to do a radio show, and plus I'm going to a Mayan prophecy apocalyptic Christmas potluck, which
wow.
I'm at right now.
How's the mood? Because, things haven't quite worked out the way people expected.
Yeah, well, a lot of people thought the gods are returning, extraterrestrials, or they thought that perhaps some changes would start happening on a more positive, spiritual way, or they thought maybe catastrophic type events could be happening. Even one scientist was even predicting, like when the Earth aligns with the Sun with the dark rift, that perhaps a 0.10 earthquake will happen somewhere on this world. Of course, it's still the 21st over here, so we're not out of the clear yet till midnight. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I have a guest coming on at on the next hour. He's live in Australia, and it's already the 22nd there, late in the afternoon. So they've cleared with no hurdles. So we will be talking to him a little later on the next hour of the show. So, Paul, this increase in paranormal, is there a rhyme or a reason, or does it appear to be random? Is there anything specific that you can pair up with the events?
Because other paranormal groups, they don't seem like they get as many phone calls as I do. And I'm really out there because, of course, too, I'm a paranormal journalist.
Right.
So I think it could be the fact that we're a very popular group, and so we do get we get the majority of the phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could be part of the reason, because I have talked to other groups, and they're just not doing anything except sitting on their butts.
Right.
So, but one of the things I wanted to talk to you though about, Colin, is about the Hopi prophecy versus the Mayan prophecy versus Nostradamus versus the Bible revelations. One of the things that I've noticed, though, there's no correlation. It doesn't seem like there's a real correlation with any of it. I mean, okay, the Hopis, okay, they were right on the money. They said there's going to be a river of stone throughout the United States that's going to crisscross the United States, and that's your freeways and your highways. Okay, they got that right. And then they said there would be a snake of iron that'll be throughout the United States, that'll be crisscrossing the United States. And that's your trains. Okay, so they got that right. And then they talked about the spider web that will be engulfing the earth in form of communication, which would be your internet. Again, they got that right. But then they talked about a blue star. And that blue star, when it makes its appearance, or when we recognize this blue star in the sky, that would be the time of the apocalypse. Okay, well, the Mayans never mention a blue star, but they did talk about the earth aligning with the sun, aligning with the dark womb or the dark rift. And scientists showed that there is a black hole in the center of our galaxy. Okay, so someone had to tell the Mayans about this black hole, because I don't believe they had telescopes that good where they could have actually seen this black hole in the center of the galaxy. But what confuses me, Colin, is the fact that, okay, you have the Hopis talking about a blue star, but the Mayans never mention a blue star.
Right.
But the Mayans get a lot of things right. They talked about that we'll be drinking water from containers. Well, we drink bottled water. Okay, that's a prediction that they were correct on. So there were so many things that they were correct on, that on December 21st, 2012, there would be this alignment. Okay, the alignment, that's true. The black hole, the black rift, the black womb, whatever you want to call it, that's true. So all this information is all correct. Now here's the most confusing part of it. So then we have the Bible prophecy. Okay, the Bible prophecy, okay, well, let's go to Nostradamus. Nostradamus talks about three antichrists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have Napoleon Bonaparte was the first one.
Right.
Then the second one was Hitler. And
right.
The third one is yet to come. Well, the Mayans...
Or is already here and not identified.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Mayans and the Hopis never talk about an antichrist. So there's no correlation with that. And so, but, okay, Nostradamus, he does talk about the Antichrist, and so that correlates with the Bible prophecy. And also, too, in Israel, when the mosque, that big, huge dome, is destroyed and replaced with Solomon's temple is rebuilt, that is the time of the apocalypse. And
so you're talking of the Alaska Mosque.
Yes, exactly, okay. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So again, there's no correlation with that, with the Mayans, the Hopis, Bible prophecy. And hey, hi guys, how you doing? They got some people here already coming to the party. So why
do you think then, Paul, that every culture seems to have some kind of divine spirit as their guide? Every culture on earth seems to have some form of that.
Yeah, they do, and they seem like they get all this information from a god, or an extraterrestrial, or the gods, however they may put it. But it seems like they're getting correct information, but they're also too getting misinformation. And with that misinformation, the Mayans and the Hopis, they're not talking about an Antichrist. They're not talking about a third Antichrist. They're not talking about that mosque being destroyed and Solomon's temple being rebuilt. I would think that they would have, if they can, okay, if the Mayans can figure out that, that there's a dark rift in the center of the galaxy, I would think they would also, too, know about a mosque being destroyed and Solomon's temple being rebuilt. I would think that they would have all this and it would all correlate. But none of it actually correlates. They get so many things right, but it just doesn't all the pieces of the puzzle doesn't connect, and that kind of confuses me. What do you think about that, Colin?
Well, I think that the message regarding a greater being, a greater spirit, I think the message was delivered to various nations in a manner that they could accept the message. And I think the problem is now we read the books and we read different countries and different nations' slants on religion, and it's off from what the original message was.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, I think at the end of days, there is only one God. You may call him Allah, you may call him God, you may call him Jesus Christ, you may call him whatever. But I believe there's only one, and that is the Supreme Being. And I don't think, 2012 is a very funny angle for yours truly, because it fascinates me. The Mayans fascinate me, how they knew so much. And without accepting alien as being the intelligence injector onto Earth, I can't come up with a cotton-picking good idea how it would have happened, even through natural selection and you know, general intelligence. We couldn't be as far along as we are without the aid of someone greater than we are. And so I'm in the quandary of that, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people call it, it seems like they have a misconception about the December 21st, 2012 Mayan prophecy. A lot of people, if you just talk to them, they actually think it's going to be the end of the world. Okay, and the Mayans never said that. They said it would be the end of the fourth world, and it would be the beginning of the fifth world. It's like, I guess, sort of like an odometer. Mm-hmm. Starts all over again.
Right.
So 0000, and that there would be some changes. But here's another confusion, and tell me if I got this right. But from just some of my research, it seems like there was some scientists, and I don't know if it's a made up story or what, but supposedly some scientists went up to the Arctic, and they went to they start researching the terrestrial landscape out there at the beginning of the Mayan calendar, when the Mayan calendar started. And during that beginning date in the Arctic, they were shown that there was catastrophic events in the beginning of the Mayan calendar. And supposedly the Mayans didn't even exist at the time, but yet they selected the certain beginning date in which the scientists went to the Arctic, and they discovered on the beginning date that there was some catastrophic events. So I would think if there was catastrophic events in the beginning of the Mayan calendar, it would also too be some catastrophic events at the end of the Mayan calendar. And maybe nothing dramatic where the world's blowing up, but would be some kind of change, like maybe that 0.10 earthquake or whatever, which shows us that we are now in a purification, cleansing process that the Earth is doing, and things would start changing on Earth. You know, maybe continents would shift around, or maybe a full polar shift.
But,
you know, so.
But Paul, could it not also possibly point towards finding a cure for cancer, or ending war.
That would be totally, totally beautiful, because a lot of people do also, too, believe that change can either be bad or it can be good. And so, therefore, with the change, yeah, a cure for cancer or something like that, that would be fantastic. And a lot of people believe, you know, more people are on a more spiritual level believe that. They believe that is something on more of a positive note. And that would be great.
Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, the media got a hold of 2012 fairly early with the movies and the likes. And everything was cataclysmic. Everything was negative. Everything, there wasn't a good thing that was going to happen. And I started to think to myself, well, if we are going through a Mother Nature cycle of a certain time frame, as the Mayans predict, then at the end of that cycle, then there, that change must start to take place. So it may take 6 months. It may be droughts in this summer. It may be, who knows, an early winter, maybe the nastiest winter on record. I mean, we're sat here in Calgary tonight at minus 18 degrees Celsius, and that's about zero Fahrenheit. And it's cold, you know?
Oh, yes.
And it's going to be cold for days. So, you know, and is that unusual? Look back 15, 20 years. No, it's not unusual. But it is unusual over the last 5 years. So is it a weather change that on that date is when it starts? You know, I don't think it was an instant change on the date, on the exact lineup. I think it's a cause and effect. And I think it may take time for the orbital lineup that they speak about to actually affect the outer planets such as ourselves.
That's true. And right now, you know, like we're having that major blizzard, you know, we can just put it off as, you know, the winter. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, thank you. I'm actually in the garage at this party, so that way I can hear you better and everything else, because they'll be in there laughing and stuff like that. So.
Well, I'll try not to hold you too long, sir, but, you know, you're always a mind full of information, and I love listening to the investigations that you do and the information you gain from it, because each investigation gives you just more impetus into the memory bank, so you can draw upon it at another time, right? So the more experience you get, the better you become, right?
Absolutely. Now, one thing I like to ask you, though, okay, now, what did you think would happen on December 21st, 2012?
I thought that hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of would-be writers would make a fortune on eBay books and e-books and the likes, and they would make a grand bit of money, and the day would continue on the 22nd. I do believe that something, there is a cause and effect. It's just, we're just going to have to wait and see what the changes are. I don't think the changes are instant. I think they're weather-related or sun-related. So we just have to figure it out.
I know, because we're due for a major solar storm. So, I mean, they say that's in our horizon, that's going to happen. I think the changes are going to happen gradually throughout 2013.
Yeah.
We may see the solar storm. We may have power outages. We gasoline problems. We're out of gas, or, you know, we're out of oil. I mean, all those could be catastrophic. Okay, and with the global warming, I mean, chunks of ice, we're losing it constantly. In the Arctic and everything else, and of course our oceans will rise and our coastal cities will be in danger. So I don't think we're, you know, out of it yet. I mean, I think we're going to see changes, and we're going to start seeing them in 2013.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's all doom and gloom, though. You know, even though it seems pretty dark, I think change is always good. You know, it keeps everything fresh. You can get too stale at something and too stale at another. My political views clearly is that the wrong president was elected, but at the same time, I don't have to tolerate or pay taxes down there too much, so it's not a big deal to me. But I will say this, that there are changes underway that I know about that are going to definitely, you know, rock the boat a little bit. And now that Kerry has been brought up to Secretary of State level and nominated, the Swift voters are going to kick back up. And also, you know, his Hippie Day files are going to kick up, and then the conspiracy theorists are going to be all over the place, all over again. And the paranormal universal information is once again going to get buried into the recesses of the library somewhere.
Interesting. And here's another thing I got to tell you too, Colin. A lot of people were experiencing the 11-11 phenomenon. You probably heard about that, where people would look at their watch and it's 11-11.
Mm-hmm.
They look in their microwave, it says 11-11.
I wake up at 4:44 every morning.
4:44?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a new one. Either people are seeing 11-11 or 333. And this is a phenomenon that's all around the world. A lot of people are experiencing this. And what is kind of interesting is that the winter solstice actually starts at 11:11 universal time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of interesting, you know, because all these people see 11:11, and that's when it actually starts at 11:11 universal time. So I thought that was kind of unusual.
Well, supposedly every action that we take and every part of history has a mathematical equation to it. So, you know, maybe we're just a series of numbers, Paul, and, you know. Maybe we're part of the holodeck somewhere, and we're just somebody's ant farm. Some little kid has got this earth as an ant farm, and they're watching us grow. You never know.
Right. And here's another thing that's kind of interesting. The Mayans actually believed, and they were told by these ancient aliens or their gods, that they would return. And it seems like they believed that they would return on December 21st, 2012. And my theory is the reason why that they don't return, because I really do believe that our civilization was kickstarted by ancient aliens. I totally believe that with my heart. I mean, it's just so many things point to that. And the reason why I don't think they're returning is that they have some type of a, I don't know, federation of planets or something, where they say, hey, you know, leave Earth alone. Let it grow. We can observe it, but don't interact with them. Mm-hmm. Let them do their thing, and let's see how they progress.
Okay.
And if they just really screw up, okay, then we'll intervene.
The only problem I have with the Mayan thought process is they set a date of December the 21st, 2012. Mm-hmm. That was the date that they supposedly extrapolated from the hieroglyphs. Well, we have dicked around and moved dates and times and places on our calendars 4 or 5 times. And, you know, who is to know what today's date really is, other than the lineup of the planets, as the Mayans did, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think you could be off a day or two, without too much muss and fuss, given the problems of what Earth is about. I mean, the tsunami that happened, the massive tsunami that happened, it took the Earth off its axis by 0.025. You know, we moved a little bit, our axis changed, we slowed down a little, you know. And each earthquake, each subsequent earthquake is very much just like a thruster rocket. It affects the Earth's atmosphere and slows things down. So who knows what could happen if a couple of big volcanoes decided to let go? What could it do to the Earth's axis? So I think we live in that constant danger, Paul, is that if it isn't one thing, it's another.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and that's an Earth threat that we have, super volcanoes.
Yeah.
That's an Earth threat, yeah. And, I mean, it's going to happen at some time. I mean, it's not going to go away. It's going to happen, but we just don't know when.
Yeah. They are a scientific fact. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, it's not another Planet X hoax or anything like that. And there's another issue, the Anunnaki and Planet X. That sure died down this last 90 days or so. Have you heard anything? Is there anything out there in the universe that anybody is tracking?
I've been tracking the trackers.
Okay.
And they're not coming up with anything on Planet X. And the only thing I heard, the last thing I heard was that Planet X may be invisible. Well, even if it was invisible, wouldn't it have some kind of gravitational effects on other planets like Jupiter and Saturn? We would be aware of it because of the anomalies that are happening with the movement of our own planets in our own galaxy system. Mm-hmm. I mean, so...
I think I'm going to have to give Marshall Masters a call.
Oh, okay.
And see if he can... sort that Planet X stuff out for me, because it's starting to get a little deep and I'm getting a little confused, because the last I heard it was incoming and now it appears not to be, or if it is, we can't see it. And the invisible is new to me. That's I hadn't heard that one before, but, you know, it's got a shield of invisibility, or it's sophisticated. That gives me a little bit of concern.
Hmm. And you heard that it's incoming?
Well, I'd heard this about 11 months ago, that they'd spotted something in the southern hemisphere. And they had a YouTube on it, unless it was a fake. But I'm sure I saw something that it was spotted in the southern hemisphere about 8 months ago.
Okay, I think what you're referring to is the two stars that were somehow ejected by the black hole in the center of our galaxy, that somehow they intertwined and came together, and it has a longer life because it was like a dwarf star and was supposed to burn out, but it was like two dwarf stars that came together, so it kind of lives on. And they said that one is bluish in color, so that could be the blue star that the Hopis talked about.
Mm.
But then I haven't heard anything more about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, with the amount of information that we read on a weekly basis,
mm-hmm.
I should maybe correlate it a little better, because I remember the story, I just don't remember the source. So, I'll have a look at that. But I'm sure Marshall will have his finger on the pulse on that one, so we'll get that sorted out in short order. So, tell me one of the latest investigations you run that caused you some great hope that there actually is something on the other side.
Well, you know, it's so funny. It's a lot of times we've been on investigations where we've captured nothing or no EVPs. EVPs are solid evidence. I mean, when you get interaction from an entity and it's intelligent and it's answering your questions, we utilize the EVPs as our main source of evidence, unless you can prove that an orb has intelligent movement. And it seems like almost every investigation we've been going on, we're getting good evidence. We're not debunking stuff. We're not finding natural causes. It's like one after another, and the only conclusion that we can come up with is that it's paranormal. And this one house that we investigated, everybody in that house was getting sick. The one lady, she acquired MS, and she's going to be crippled soon. Her husband died 2 weeks prior before we got there. And her daughter-in-law, her son, got sick, and they had to move out of the house. And walking into that house, I don't know what it is. I mean, it was a clean house and everything, but it just felt gloomy. It felt very depressing. And I couldn't shake it. The other investigators couldn't shake it. We started feeling queasy and everything else. And in the beginning of the investigation, we weren't getting anything. So I'm thinking, well, you know, probably it's not haunted. And then the last part of it, we started getting intelligent EVPs where they're actually answering our questions. So like, we say, okay, what is your name? And it would say, Michael. And why are you here? I like staying here. This is my home or whatever. And then we're getting validation from the occupant saying, yeah, well, Michael was my uncle and this and that. And so it was so bizarre. And
did you ever find out who the source was of the gloom?
We took one picture and it looked like a portal. So we thought that perhaps that a portal somehow opened up in that house, bringing in darker entities because of everybody getting sick and her husband just, you know, recently died and everything else. And so I conducted a Catholic blessing of the house, and they said it was a temporary fix. Everything was back to normal for a while, but then it came back. In the way the house is situated, there's all kinds of like little wooden shacks in the backyard, and it would probably take me half the night to really properly try to bless that place. So
you need to get into the crop spraying business, buddy, and then you could just do it like just douse it.
Yeah,
you know?
Get
it done, eh?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah. Her property was too large and everything else. It would probably take an army of priests to try to really bless her property. I mean, right. It's just, you know.
So what
incredible.
Do you think? You think a portal, has a dark force portal has opened up that is feeding dark energy?
Yeah, because some of the pictures that we took, I think we got something like three photos where it shows like a strange light shaft coming from this one area. And I believe that light shaft that we captured on the photo is some type of portal. And what happens is, okay, let's say her deceased uncle is visiting. Well, sometimes unintentionally, they open a portal where other entities want to follow them, and they said, okay, well, you know, he's now in this home, so somehow a portal opens where darker type entities start coming in. And it seems like that happens a lot with a lot of our cases where it's a friendly entity, then all of a sudden they get a darker entity that comes around.
So what you're saying is follow something our parents probably said to us 100,000,000 times, close the door.
Mm-hmm.
When you come visiting, close the door so the dark entity can't come through your energy.
You're right. Oh, Colin, there's another thing I got to tell you. Okay. In January, we're supposed to be filming a pilot for A&E.
Excellent.
Yeah. This guy, his name is, Michael Simas, he contacted A&E, and he was trying to get a bounty hunter show, and they rejected the idea. So he pitched the idea of this paranormal show that would be called Paranormal Skeptics. And basically, they'll have me train these skeptics, and they could be comedians, they could be truck drivers, they could be janitors or whatever, mm-hmm. but they're skeptics,
right.
the paranormal. And I train them how to become ghost hunters. And then I break up the teams. We're in a very haunted place, and I throw them into one area, into another area, and see what we can get. And if they get scared, if they're running down the hallway screaming like little,
It sounds like a very psychologically scary show. We all have our demons. I think I would squeal like a little girl if I saw a ghost or heard a ghost. I think I would. And squeal like a little girl. I know I would.
Yeah.
You know,
they said they want to capture everything. So they said these skeptics are running down the hallway screaming like little girls. They want to film it. And so I said, okay, cool. So they're going to do the pilot in January. And the guy who's going to film it, his name is Michael Hawk. And that's M-Y-K-E-L. Hawk is H-A-W-K-E, I believe. And you can Google his name, but anyway, he has a couple shows that are reality shows, and one of them is called Salmon Wars.
Right.
Yeah, Salmon Wars, and I forget what the other one's called. And this is his very first paranormal show. So anyway, they're going to do a pilot in January. We're supposed to film in January. And if it's successful, then we basically will have a TV show.
Well, good for you, Paul. It'll be a blast to say, I know that guy. I remember when he was on my radio show and couldn't say Chichen Itza.
Yeah, that's right.
We have a caller coming in, Paul. I'm going to open straight to the line. So 410, good evening. You're on the line, Night Talk Radio, and Paul Dale Roberts, and yours truly. 410, you're on the line.
This is actually your next guest.
Alrighty, hold it there, sir. I wasn't sure if 410 was my guest or not, but okay, he is online. So, Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Can I get everybody to do a shout out to you?
You betcha.
Okay. Hold on.
Okay. Paul is at a Christmas party. For HPI Paranormal, and the gang's out there doing their bit.
Did you hear that, Colin?
I got it, man. I got it. You have yourself a super night, and remember, you know, if you're partying a little too hard, always take a cab, my brother.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll talk to you again real soon, Paul.
Okay, sounds good. Okay.
Take care.
Okay.
And Paul Dale Roberts from HPI Paranormal California. Paul's always a good information specialist. He brings another look at a fascinating article such as the paranormal and universal truths and mistruths. Always a very interesting time with Paul. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have our next guest.
The Kepler satellite has identified 2,000 planets orbiting other star systems. So tonight, when you look at the night sky, realize that somebody could be looking back at you. Now, if there is a life form out there, they could be literally millions of years ahead of us. The universe is 13.7 billion years old, so a million years is nothing compared to the age of the universe. And for the most part, I think they're going to be friendly. But if they are hostile, it would be like Bambi meeting Godzilla if we ever had to fight them.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
Well, realize that if they're that advanced, they can reach the Earth from a distant star. They are already thousands of years ahead of us in technology. And we would present no military challenge to such an advanced civilization. Now realize, for the most part, there are lots of uninhabited planets with resources on them. So if they can reach the Earth, they can certainly reach other planets that are uninhabited. So for the most part, I think they're going to leave us alone. But if one of them is hostile, watch out. We would be a pushover for them. Forget all the Hollywood movies.
This is Night Talk Radio on nighttalkradio.com.
And Paul Dale Roberts brought a lot of interesting facts of the paranormal to the surface. And some of them, you know, you can take with easy palate, as they say. And then others, you know, you have to kind of mull around and think about. And that's what Paul Dale Roberts does when he comes to the show. And also when he writes his reports and sends them to nighttalkradio.com, which you can read those on a daily basis. And he is a prolific writer, so sometimes you may have three or four very special paranormal investigations to check out. So we do invite you to go to nighttalkradio.com and have a read, and read some of Paul's recent adventures. They're pretty interesting. Inside the apocalypse, the survival pods, there are companies down in the United States and in the Ukraine, of all places, that are making a pretty penny creating survival pods that you plant into the ground, deep in the ground, and survive underground when the apocalypse happens. It is an industry, and anybody that doesn't think that the end of the world is coming is going to destroy that industry. So shame on you. Seriously. The apocalypse survival pods are not much different than when I was growing up through the 60s and the threat of nuclear fallout, and there were fallout shelters that were also being sold in a commercial vein. So, you know, they're not really much to really get concerned about, even though the media tends to titillate the story a little bit. But I will say that there was one story that kind of jumped out and came to mind as we move into our next guest, of Don Howitz. Like a scene from the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, hundreds of people were being drawn to a uniquely formed mountain peak in the Carpathian Mountains, hoping that this magnetic force would save them from the coming apocalypse. The pyramid-shaped peak, the legend goes, was created by aliens many thousands of years ago, according to Vladimir Petrovic, the editor of a Belgrade publication specializing in esoteric literature. He stated that we all know the aliens have been there for thousands of years. They may be the forces who will help us get through this. Now, maybe. Maybe true, maybe not. Is there some fact or some fiction to that? Where are we going with all of the apocalypse theories? Where do we go tomorrow? If this is the beginning of a new understanding, what is it?
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God go I. There's a modern saying that many citizens are two paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, remember those who may not be as well off. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God go I.
24-hour opinion line, 240-696-6030, or on air live, 347-324-3287.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio with host Colin Knight on the Terror Jam Radio Network. Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the Terror Chat Network. KPNM Tor. In the dead of night, when all is dark and all your daytime worries engulf you, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the great world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hollows of the castle walls. In the dead of night, when all is still, who will you be tonight? This is Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
When they said a dramatic entrance, they weren't kidding, were they? Holy Toledo. Well, our next guest is Don Horse. Good evening, Don. Welcome to Night Talk Radio.
It's my pleasure to be with you, Colin.
It's good to have you with me tonight. So what's your opinion on the Mayan calendar and the end of the world theory?
Well, obviously, we are still here. So there was no end of the world. But one thing I've seen a few people remark that's important to note, at some point in time, everybody's world does end.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, one day mine will, and everybody that's listening and everybody in the world, we are not, you know, on a physical level, we're not eternal beings. Spiritually, we are eternal. The soul is eternal, but we're not. And as human beings, we're not. And so eventually the physical covering or veil or body will expire. So that's important to note. It's also important to note that, you know, the older things are, the more things about them can be lost in translation. So, you know, we don't really know all of the details. We don't, you know, there's more than just the Mayan calendar. There are other calendars
right.
in existence as well. So if you believe in time and you believe that the calendar is a timekeeper, then maybe that is something that you are drawn to. I, for example, do not believe that time even exists. So, therefore, I live my life in the now, one day, one moment, one second at a time. And I believe that if you do that, that's where you exist. If you exist in the now, you are an eternal being because you are identifying with your soul as yourself. And so
wow.
for the people that are learning to do that, they don't live in time. And most of the world actually and still does live in time.
And society, of course, tends to attempt to force us to live in the future rather than live in the present because everything tends to be amortized forward now, including the national debts of countries. So I see where you are coming from on that, Don, because that makes perfect sense of why many people seem to be out of balance.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. We are either conscious beings or we're unconscious beings. And the more unconscious we live, which causes us to live in time, then we tend to live in chaos and imbalanced, dis-ease, something I call dis-ease. It's just it's the opposite of ease. You know, I don't really see mm-hmm. it as, you know, the sickness of the body, but it can become that. So it's, you know, as we evolve forward in the now, I don't even say we evolve forward into the future. Actually, most of humanity is living in the past. And what happens is we get stuck there. And so in my book, I believe we live about 80% of our time in the past, 19% in the future, and only 1% or less in the present moment.
Why do you think we do that?
It's just our nature at this time in our evolution. We're in the we're just coming out of the lowest period of human consciousness. The lowest period in human consciousness was probably anywhere from a few to 10,000 years ago. And so we're slowly starting to come out of that. And so what happens is when the ego essence, which is part of us, part of our human makeup, and when the mind essence, which is another part of our human makeup, when those two twin energies begin to take over, we slip into other energies, and one of them is lethargy or laziness. Another one is forgetfulness, and another one is that we actually slip into time. And so the further we slip into time, you know, the more issues erupt in our daily living process, for example. But the more that we focus and begin to live our lives in the now and recognize that we're the spiritual beings first, trying to have a human experience, then all of the things that I just mentioned, they begin to collapse and they begin to dissolve. And so then our free will kicks in at a higher rate, and we begin to actually live the life that we choose to live.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, definitely. I can see exactly where you're focused on that. My question would be is that we have this genetic desire to survive. Now, we can't explain how it happens or how the code works in our system, but it appears that the human being has this genetic desire to survive.
And how does
that correlate? I mean, what do you see for the future of man? If, in fact, this is the beginning of a new Mayan count, long count, mm-hmm. and if, in fact, it is time for change, and I do believe in change. I do believe something is changing. I'm just not sure what it is yet, Don. But let's assume all of that being true. What do you see in the future for mankind?
Well, what will have to happen is that the shift is in consciousness. We're conscious beings. We're conscious entities mm-hmm. within bodies. And as long as we identify with these bodies, there's going to be a problem if we're looking for eternal life, because the physical DNA, the physical region or plane of consciousness, is not designed for eternity.
Right.
At some point, things usually follow birth, life, and death, and that's a cycle,
mm-hmm.
and it continues to go on. So as long as we identify with the material, as long as we identify with matter, identify with the body as being us, we're going to have a problem with trying to be eternal, because the only part of us that's eternal, which is actually our real self, is our spirit or our soul or consciousness. You can call it many things,
right?
But if you withdraw consciousness from the body, and we see this when people get intoxicated with various drugs, legal or illegal, if
right.
we see this in them, the body will collapse. And we say they're unconscious. And for all practical purposes, they're dead. And so what goes on is consciousness. Something enlivens this physical body. And that's the part of us that's eternal. And so if we get in touch with that, if we can connect with that, mm-hmm. then that part of us, yes, lives forever. That's the part of us that becomes eternal.
So how does it affect that process now that our medical facilities and our drug facilities are getting better and better each day, and we can maintain life much longer than we could in the past? How is that changing the formula?
Well, it's actually helping to extend our physical lifespan. We haven't always lived for an approximate 100 years. 30 to 100 years is what generally you'll find on the planet. There are people that are living well past the 100. I think Guinness. We just lost a woman. I think she was either 115 or 116.
Right.
And she was supposed to be the oldest in the world. But Guinness only takes you if you have a birth certificate. And so in my book, I wrote about people that were 129, 130, 132, 140, and even more.
Right.
I just did a workshop this summer down in Houston, and one of the gentlemen that came to my class said, "Oh, back in Asia, back home where I come from, we have we have someone in our community that's over 200 years old." So what's happening is that we're becoming more conscious, we're becoming more aware, and this is seen regularly now. People are changing their diets, they're becoming more diet conscious. People are trending more toward a vegetarian diet. Those people that are vegetarian are trending more toward vegan diets. People are trying to go more organic. Medicine is on the increase like nothing in this world. Technology is on the increase like nothing in this world. So, yeah, those things will help a natural process that's in existence anyway, but they will help to increase the physical lifespan. Now, you might say that medicine and the drugs and different things are in increase more in the United States, than anywhere in the world, more in a few pockets. Maybe you could say this is also happening in Germany or a couple other places, small pockets of it around the world. But it's not all about that, because when I wrote my book, I got excited about looking into this a little bit deeper, and I found that there's no special place on the planet where the people are living to be over 100. There is a couple of pockets, like, for example, in South America, you can go find communities where they tend to live up toward 130. You can find this over in Georgia and in the Soviet Union. They have women that generally that live up to 130, a little bit over. But other than that, when you look at this Guinness Book of Records that keeps these records, the people that live between 100 and 115, they're not in any special one place. They're all over the world. They're found in Europe. They're found in Australia. They're found in other countries in the East, and they're found here in the United States. So it can't be all about the medicine, but the medicine and the technology will help to increase our physical lifespan.
Right. But there's no dots to connect between the pockets. There's no, there's no...
Well, that's the point. It's if that's the case, then it's not all about the physical that's increasing our lifespan. There's something else going on,
mm-hmm.
and in my book I write about it being consciousness, which is what we are. If we're conscious entities within bodies, then it's that consciousness that's changing. How do we know it's changing? Because we can see. Every time we have a period of time lapse, for example, every 5 years now is almost like squeezing 20 or 25 or 50 years of evolution into that time.
Right.
Things are speeding up. And this is one of the reasons why people feel a little uncomfortable from time to time, because they're being pushed. They're being forced to move in the direction. And when you don't know what's going on, when you feel this energy like this, but you don't know what it is, and you don't know why it's happening. Most people tend to think it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful thing to find out that you're not alone and that other people are experiencing this too.
Well, funny you should say that, because a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking with some friends of mine around about the same age, and I said, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems that time is traveling faster,
mm-hmm.
that things are happening faster than they used to, mm-hmm. and there's this major push, you know, to get, you know, a push to retirement, and retirement is not a place that I want to look at. And they said, you know, we all think the same way, that it seems that time is speeding up. The older you get, the faster time seems to be.
Well, on a physical level, one of the reasons that happens is because if you're a child of 5 years old, then a year is one-fifth of your entire lifetime.
Right.
If you're 50, a year mm-hmm. is only one-fiftieth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're 100, it's only 1/100. So just from that, looking at that alone, it would appear to the individual that time is speeding up. Now, what is actually happening is that the now, what people are calling the now, is actually God or love or whatever you want to call it. It's at the center of everything. It's something like the sun being the center of our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you get closer to the center, if you notice, Mercury is the closest planet. It only takes it 88 days to go around the sun, and that 88 days for Mercury is its year.
Okay.
If you come back up to Earth, three planets out, and we take 365 days to go around the sun for our year because we're further away from the center. But you
right.
go all the way out to Pluto. Pluto is the ninth or tenth planet out. It takes 240-some years for it to go one evolution around the sun because it's so far away from the center.
Right.
So the closer we get to the now, the closer we get to the center, the closer we get to identifying our soul as our real identity, life appears to be speeding up.
Mm-hmm. But would – because Pluto is traveling at such a pace and tends to be showing a lot slower than other planets, would that mean the time factor at Pluto would be slower, or would time be a constant no matter the speed of planets?
Time is a constant, so I'm just saying it appears. These things appear.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. Okay.
If you lived on Pluto, 243 years, Earth years, would be your year.
Right.
If you live on Mercury, then 88 days is your year.
Gotcha.
Because it's all relevant to where you are in your consciousness in respect to being toward the center or further away from it.
And these are the experiments that the space station conducts. To try and determine how the human body will be affected by space travel and the change of basically the time continuum, almost.
Well, yes, they're going to have to do a lot of experimenting, and they've always done that. They've always sent up empty payloads and empty rockets and drones before they put mice in them, and then once they study the mouse long enough. Now they're ready to put a monkey and try that. And then when they're done doing that, then, yeah, now we're ready for a human being to try this. But what's going to happen, this is important. Generally, science only evaluates things based on physics. They only do studies based on what's physical. And the physical universe is a speck inside a much larger existence. In other words, the microcosm is in the macrocosm, and the macrocosm is in the microcosm. So the physical universe in which we live as human beings is not the only existence.
Okay. Yeah. And that's why ghosts appear and disappear and walk through walls, because in their reality that wall doesn't exist.
Absolutely. I mean,
right.
The truth is, there's no matter that exists. The emotional what I call the emotional, I give three major spheres or realms of existence outside of the physical. I call it the emotional, mental, and egoical. Now, they equivocate in the East as the astral realm or region, the causal realm or region, and there's a supercausal realm or region. So each of those, believe it or not, is still made of matter. It's just not physical matter. So the
right.
astral world is made of astral matter. It vibrates at an extraordinarily higher rate than physical matter.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a part of every human being that is astral. There's a part of every human being that is causal.
Makes
there's
sense.
A part of every human being that is the supercausal, which is our ego.
Right.
Go ahead.
So given that premise,
mm-hmm.
if we were to all on Earth begin living in the now,
yeah.
would that have an effect on the future of mankind other than give peace a chance kind of feeling? But would living in the now affect time and space as we know it? Would we be more in tune with those other universes that coexist with us?
Absolutely. And most importantly, we would have the peace, the outer peace and inner peace that everybody is either consciously, unconsciously, or subconsciously looking for. We're always looking to be in the now because everybody came from the now. We were all born from the now. And this is why instinctively we're trying to get back to it. But if we don't know that these other worlds exist and we only know that the physical world is our existence, we're going to be saddened because the physical world is not an eternal world. Everything that we know and as we know it eventually one day will collapse because it's subject to time, subject to space, but the now is not.
So given that we're on borrowed time, whether we like it or not, we're on as much time as our mind collectively will give.
Well, as human beings we are, but remember, we're not just human beings. We're spiritual
True.
Souls. We're spiritual conscious entities within these physical bodies. So it really doesn't matter if the body decomposes and returns to its elements of earth, fire, water, and air, because the real you and I, which is the soul, is eternal, and the soul only exists in the now. It doesn't have an existence outside of the now.
Interesting. Yeah. I can see where you go.
One of my beautiful analogies that I learned from my spiritual teacher is that we're like the drops, and the now or love or God is the ocean, and all the drops were born from the ocean, and they initially wanted to have experiences in these higher spiritual realms, and as they descended, the realms got more dense with different kinds of matter. In other words, the egoical realm has a vibration, and then the mental mental realm is a realm of thought. Thoughts vibrate at an extraordinarily high vibration, and then there's an emotional realm, which is in the East they call that the astral,
mm-hmm.
and so that has a vibration, but it has a more dense matter than the mental. So emotions are heavier and more dense than thoughts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then when you get down to the physical level, we basically operate with five senses. And everybody knows what they are: sight,
right.
hearing, smell. Each one is a nerve center that gives us those particular characteristics. So, you know, we have existence on all of these realms. But what happens and what has been happening until just about now, human beings for the most have identified only with the physical existence. And so much so that they start to think that that's all there is. And so now, you know, with things like, you know, the ghost thing and the apparitions here and, You know, and the movie, the first major movie that was Ghost with Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze.
Right.
And then there was What Dreams May Come, and What the Bleep Do We Know gets into some stuff. And then you have Hereafter with Matt Damon, which was beautiful. And you know, now people are saying, hey, you know what? There's more to existence than just this. And then the near-death experience thing that started really exploding in the 70s and 80s, and they did a Gallup poll that said 8 million people had had a near-death or afterlife or out-of-body experience in 1982. Guess what that number is now? It's almost up to 60 million.
Really?
Yeah, so there is a shift of some kind, but it's not what you think it is.
Some kind of an enlightenment of some kind.
Oh, absolutely. Higher consciousness, man. We're becoming more conscious. Look, you look at the, you know, I don't want to, I'm not downing or giving bad to anybody that smokes, but I'm just saying we're becoming more conscious of things like smoking, things like drugs, things like alcohol. Instinctively, and deep enough within, we know what's good for our health and what's not.
That's
and
right.
So if you look at the TV, for example, look at television, look at the commercials, where is the smoking commercials anymore? You don't see them. You don't see them like you used to. Why? Because we've become enlightened. We're learning that in a cigarette, when I was coming up, they said there were 60 different carcinomic poisons within a cigarette.
Right.
Now they say there's well over 300.
I think you don't see any advertising because the governments have barred it. At least they have here in Canada. They don't permit. They're very restricted on their advertising, let's put it that way.
This is true, but why is that happening? Why, when I go to a school now, instead of seeing soda machines, I'm seeing machines that have milk and juices and fruit juice and water and things like that? Because consciousness of humankind is evolving forward.
But I dare say it's not at the bequest of the children, that's for sure. That's definitely an adult move to try and better society from the child level, which is what every nation has tried to do, every great nation has tried to do. The Romans most certainly did, and and during the Second World War, Hitler most certainly recognized the youth movement as an innocent mind to be molded into whatever kind of citizen they wanted. But I do agree with you, Don. We are changing, and there are things afoot, and sooner or later I'm sure they'll become evident. I'm just not sure how long that evidence will take, because I don't think we're moving at the same speed as what the prophecies or the rest are saying. I think there's an argument as to the date. I really do.
I agree with you 100%. And unfortunately, I will tell you this. I became extremely enlightened, I would say, in the mid-70s, spiritually. I began meditating when I was about 14. And 5 years later, I was in a world halfway. I was in a country halfway around the world in India, meeting enlightened beings and becoming even more enlightened. But the thing is, I was enlightened and given privy to some really, really highly conscious information and knowledge. And I thought to myself, wow, this is 1974, 75. By the year 2000, the whole world is going to be here with me. Well, guess what? That didn't happen. And so what I realized is that the only control I have is over myself. And I can get into the golden age. And I can't make or help people get there that don't want to do that. And everybody has the right to evolve at their own rate and the way they see things. So what I figured out was that if I change, guess what? People around me will change automatically.
Right.
Are you privy to the 100th monkey?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it works like that. And even though we are in the self-evident phase right now as far as consciousness evolution, it is going to take more time for the global consciousness to catch up. Now, there are individuals on this planet that are already there. They're already in the now. They're already in the golden age. I'm still working on it. But there are people, human beings on this planet that are, and in fact, there are some people that if they met these individuals, they would think they're the aliens. They would think they're the great ones that left all of these civilizations behind that people think weren't built by humans. But I can tell you that every discovery that they are going to find and everything that they have found was done by humans. You see, this isn't the first time we've been this evolved.
This isn't our first rodeo, right?
No. Yeah, it's exactly. I mean, you read the Theosophical Society's Secret Doctrine. It's very close to the reality of what has happened. It's pretty much in line with the Vedas, which the Vedic texts were not just for Hindus. They weren't just for India. They weren't just for the East. Those texts were left for humankind. They were left for us to read so we would know our history. And they the secret doctrines suggest from the Theosophical Society, Madame Blavatsky, suggests at least three times man has been more evolved than we are now.
Interesting, eh?
And we're the ones that make everything extinct. We killed the dinosaurs. We killed off the mammoth. We almost killed off the buffalo. We do it. We do it every time. We do it every time. But there's always a survival group that starts everything all over again.
So a perpetual machine.
It just goes in cycles over and over and over and over again. And really what this Earth region is, it's a classroom. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep coming to school until we get it right. Now, when you get it right, you graduate. And when you graduate, guess what? You get to go on to higher and better things, and you don't have to deal with this anymore. I mean, I'm telling you, this isn't the only existence.
Right, Don. Tell me, how do we get a hold of your book? Is it on a website that we can go to?
My website is very easy. That's donhoes.com. The name of the book is Higher Consciousness Through Meditation. It can be picked up on Amazon. It can be picked up at Barnes & Noble. There's an e-book that's about $6.99 if you can't afford the others. And if you wish a copy of the book signed by me, and I'm not on tour in your city or area for a book signing, then you can send $20 to me. And I will ship out the book to you signed by me, and that would be Don Hoes, D-O-N-H-O-E-S, 112 Country Club Drive, Glen Burnie, spelled G-L-E-N, capital B-U-R-N-I-E, Maryland, 21060. And it's $20, and I will mail you out a signed copy of the book.
Fantastic. Don, I appreciate you taking time to be with us tonight. I love what you're telling me, sir, and you give me lots of food for thought, and hopefully our listeners have got food for thought. And I'd like to have you back sometime around about March. How's that sound?
Sounds great to me.
Okay, Don, you take care of yourself and keep in touch, sir.
Very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Don Hoes, and you can just Google his name, and he'll pop right up there. And you can have a check of his information. And coming up next, we're going to attempt, for the first time, a link-up with one of our Australian counterparts. We've got some stories to tell you.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God, go I. There's models saying that many citizens are two paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, remember those who may not be as well off. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God, go I.
24-hour opinion line, 240-696-6030, or on air live, 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio with host Colin Knight on the Terror Jam Radio Network. Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the Terror Chat Network. KB and MTOR. In the dead of night, when all is dark and all your daytime worries engulf you, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the great world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hours of the castle walls. In the dead of night, when all is still, the way you know tonight. This is Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
The Kepler satellite has identified 2,000 planets orbiting other star systems. So tonight, when you look at the night sky, realize that somebody could be looking back at you. Now, if there is a life form out there, they could be literally millions of years ahead of us. The universe is 13.7 billion years old, so a million years is nothing compared to the age of the universe. And for the most part, I think they're going to be friendly. But if they are hostile, it would be like Bambi meeting Godzilla if we ever had to fight them.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
Well, realize that if they're that advanced, they can reach the Earth from a distant star. They are already thousands of years ahead of us in technology. And we would present no military challenge to such an advanced civilization. Now realize, for the most part, there are lots of uninhabited planets with resources on them. So if they can reach the Earth, they can certainly reach other planets that are uninhabited. So for the most part, I think they're going to leave us alone. But if one of them is hostile, watch out. We would be a pushover for them. Forget all the Hollywood movies.
This is Night Talk Radio on nighttalkradio.com.
And it does appear that we are having difficulties making the Australian hookup, but we will continue to do our best to get our good friend up into the lineup. And, you know, the wonderful thing about the 2012, it reminds me very much of the Y2K. And it also reminds me of the Preacher. Do you remember the Preacher that I think it was May of last year or the year before, where he swore that the whole world was going to go to hell in a handbasket? And, you know, only salvation from him or whatever it was would make things better. Well, it didn't quite work out that way for him, and apparently he revised it a couple of times and then gave up on the game. You know, making prophecy is one thing, but when the date that you're prophesizing is within your lifetime and your professional grade, then it definitely, you know, kicks you in the little ones, right? So, unfortunately, many people who believed that 2012 was the end of the world or the end of something, and that it would be cataclysmic to the point that there would be physical changes, I think don't quite understand how big Mother Nature and the universe really is. And sometimes we overestimate our own greatness and our own personal reality. And as Don mentioned a little earlier, you know, live in the now where you were master of your domain. And that's probably about the best way of saying it. Because by living in the now, you are command of whatever that that space is that you are holding, right? So that's what makes life different, is how we come about understanding the world in total. And changing that world in total is probably one of the most difficult things we're going to have to do. We're going to have to come around it socially, and we'll have to come around it eventually internationally. There is no way we're going to be able to hold on to what we've got. We have to do a clean and absolutely logical move, either forward, backwards, or sideways, to revolve and resolve, because we cannot go the way we are doing. We cannot continue to live in our own filth. We just can't do it anymore. We'll be right back. Whoever put the soundtracks together tonight, boy, certainly had a very dramatic feel about it. We have with us, live from Australia, Sean. Good evening, Sean. Welcome to Night Talk North America.
Good evening, Colin. Thanks for the invitation.
No, I appreciate it. It's a little difficult getting you all hooked up there, but here we are in Technicolor, and it's fantastic that you could make it. So, it's already tomorrow there. It's already the 22nd, am I correct?
It is, yes.
So you're coming in via Skype, which is a nice clear signal tonight. So as you bask in your tropical weather down there, Sean, it is currently minus 18 degrees Celsius here.
Oh, my God, I don't know. That's incredible.
Minus 18 degrees Celsius. That's zero Fahrenheit for our imperial listeners. Yeah, she's pretty cool tonight, and they say right through to Christmas. So it's
Do you go out in that weather, Colin?
Oh, absolutely. You know, just you just have to wrap up well and layer, different layers to, you know, block the wind and what have you. And I only have to walk about 40 feet to my vehicle. So my vehicle has a heater in it that I start up with a remote control. And, we live the life of luxury up here, my friend.
Yeah. Yes, it's 35 degrees here in Ballarat, Victoria.
Nice.
Celsius.
Yeah. Well, I can't say the words that are coming to my mind on the air, but really, okay, well, fine, so be it. You know, that's pretty nice. 35 degrees. That's cooking. That would be up the mid 90s Fahrenheit.
That's
not
right. Yeah. But you know, I fantasize about, you know, I'd be in your situation at least for Christmas.
Well, you know, there is that to it, yes. There is the fact, you know, we can, most definitely going to White Christmas, there's no doubt about that. But it hasn't happened for, it just hasn't happened. It has not happened for quite a few years here. So,
wow.
So this is a little different to us, too. It's like, we are going to get a White Christmas, which is... think we're
nice.
Not quite used to anymore. You know, we've had fairly decent weather over the last few years. So, you know, it's, you got to take the good with that. But, Sean, so tell me, when did you realize that there was an alternate universe, if you will, or when did you realize that we were not alone?
I realized, we were talking about the paranormal side of things, I didn't realize at the time, but my first paranormal experience was at the age of 8 at my grandmother's funeral, but at the, in relation to other people off this planet, I didn't really realize that until 1994 when I was abducted.
Hmm. So it came together... all at one big moment for you, or it just kind of jigsaw fit together?
Yeah, it did. It sort of, the catalyst was my 94 abduction. And as the years progressed, the paranormal side of things became more full on. And
right.
I would, but also the other side of the coin of that is, I don't know, this is my own personal thoughts, I think there's a connection somehow, I'm not sure what it is in relation to UFOs and our spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
Because, when I saw my grandmother at my funeral, I was only 8 years old, and I assumed that my mother could see her also, so I wasn't really scared or anything, and I didn't say that I saw her standing in the room, even though she was sitting or lying down in her coffin at the time. But I was happy to see her, and she was smiling at me, and that's all I said to my mother. Hey, Mum, Gran's always smiling at me. And she said, yes, she always smiled at you. She loved you, and that was it.
Right.
And then many years later... I had the good fortune, I would say, I was having a mitral valve replacement surgery in the Ararat, Alfred Hospital in Melbourne. And when I was getting prepped for my surgery, I got to see my grandmother again, standing in the corner room, smiling at me I got into surgery.
And she was just watching over you before you went in?
Yes. At
impressive.
The time I thought she was there to pick me up, which I wasn't too happy about. But after the surgery and that, I realized she was there as a sort of comfort.
Right.
Mm.
Right. Now, could this be a manifestation of your imagination, or was it beyond that, Sean?
Well, it's beyond that. Definitely not because of the time frame from 94 up until this time, I see spirits. I actually see spirit animals occasionally. I just saw a cat not so long ago, about 2 weeks ago, that walked right through my lounge room and disappeared through one of the walls into the bathroom. And I ran into the bathroom thinking it'd still be there, but it disappeared.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so...
I wasn't aware that cats had spirit, but I would think they must, because we tend to have such a very strong bond to our domestic animals. There's no better look than looking into the eye of a dog that is there for its master. It's like a child walking for the first time. The look that they give you straight into your eye of the impression that they have is astounding. So maybe they do have a spirit. I never really thought of it.
Okay, yes, you're absolutely right. I've had cats and dogs, and dogs are totally devoted to you. It's total love.
Yeah, it's absolute, almost unconditional, for sure. So, Sean, you've had the paranormal experiences, and they've kind of been in and out in your life. And apparently, your brothers also have some abilities too, don't they?
Yeah, my older brother, he doesn't like talking about his experiences, but my younger brother is quite open about it. And I found out a few years later after meeting my younger brother, my birth mother also had a UFO experience and was slightly in tune with the paranormal at the time. That sort of made me sort of freak out, because it was all connecting with me, because my three brothers were myself and my two brothers were all adopted,
right?
So
so no genetic connection at all.
No,
you know, they say that genetically is how we are chosen, that if we are being abducted for species investigation, then they are choosing different DNAs to test different theories, but that obviously isn't the case with you, because you have all succumbed to the same thing at one time or another, and you don't have a genetic code as a unifying, you know. So maybe it's location. Have you had many paranormal activities or UFOs around the place that you live?
We're right in the center of Ballarat at the moment, but just 2 years ago, we lived semi-rural just outside of Ballarat. And I was sharing the house at the time with an old friend of mine, Douglas, and he actually had an experience with a UFO. I was in the lounge room with the dog. The dog was called Snozzy, and the dog was barking at the back door, and he wanted to go out. And I said, "Well, it's your turn, Doug. You go and do it." So they disappeared together outside, and I got involved in the program I was watching on television. And then about 30 minutes in, I sort of realized what the time was. I'm thinking, gee, that's a long time to be outside in the dark. And this was a 10-acre property, which was well-fenced. Right. And the dog was scratching at the back door to come in, so I ignored the dog. And then another 10 minutes went by, and I thought, well, gee, where's Doug? So I went outside. The dog came rushing in. I got the flashlight, and I went walking around the property along with the dog. Couldn't find him anywhere, and this is about 18 k's outside of a town. And went back inside, and 2 hours later, he turned up. 2 hours, he walked through the door, and he had no idea that he'd been gone for 2 hours. As far as he was concerned, he thought he was outside for 5 minutes. Right. He said he went outside with a dog. The dog was having a pee, so was he. And I said, well, what else did you do? And he said, oh, I was looking up at this star that seemed to be going upwards, and it kept carrying on and just disappeared, like, really quickly. And he had no recollection of where 2 hours were. 2 hours went. He actually said to me, oh, you're joking. I said, well, look at the clock. It's, you know, two hours later. And he said, well, that can't be right. He said to me, oh, you're pulling my leg. You've put the clock forward. And I said, no, I haven't. Call the clock on the phone. And he called that, and he discovered that he'd lost 2 hours.
He had absolutely lost 2 hours. Now, this has happened to both of your brothers and yourself at one time or another. Has it ever happened together?
No.
No? Have you discussed anything that each of you remember? Is there any similarities?
Yes. Similarities, possibly. My older brother won't discuss it at all. It's a taboo subject. He's a very conservative person and believes in reality as it is. And my younger brother, who's a lot more open and 5 years younger than myself, he said he remembered as a child that he was woken up one night with three small people in his room. And he actually got up with them and was standing in a circle with them. And that's all he actually remembered of what happened to him. But he said they didn't look like people. They didn't look like human people. That's his personal memory. But you see all this stuff on television, and you see it of the greys with large almond eyes. Well, the ETs that mucked around with me and my younger brother, apparently, well, I actually saw one leaving through the ceiling of my bedroom, and they had small eyes. They didn't have those big almond eyes. And this thing had its helmet. Had a helmet over its head, and it had a stick or a wand, I'm not sure what it was, and he was actually, or she, I don't know which it was, but disappearing through the corner of the ceiling and the wall in my bedroom.
So just dissolving.
Yes, going through it.
It's, and you know, when you think about it, you look at the pictures of the greys that have been drawn, and it's not so far removed to believe that the head shape is, in fact, a helmet.
Yeah.
Not necessarily is it their actual physical head. You know, it resembles very much an astronaut's helmet. So, you know, I would, until I physically see it myself, I would never, you know, discount that theory that possibly there is a being inside a suit.
Yes.
And maybe that's what you saw, is you saw a being without, you know, without the protective garments, because maybe the protective garments don't travel.
Well, you know, it's like it's the atmosphere might not be good for them or whatever, like when we sent astronauts to the moon or whatever, they have a suit on. So, yeah, that's quite feasible, right. I would imagine.
Yeah.
But in their actual saucer or whatever you wish to call it, I met when I was abducted from my bedroom, I remember waking up and looking around, and I my body wasn't able to move, and all I could see was just this pure white light, really bright, the brightest white I've ever seen in my life, and to this point. And I thought, oh, my God, I've gone blind. And my hands, a few seconds afterwards, I was able to move my hands and put my hands up to my eyes and feel my eyelids. My eyelids were wide open. I said, oh, bloody hell, I've gone blind.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized I wasn't in my bedroom, and I was able to sit up. I sat up suddenly, and I was in this semicircular room, and it had no windows and no seeable doors where you could enter and exit, and I was sat there, and then to my right, this very tall looking, I'll say, woman, because it was a she, that came towards me, and she had long hair, and she didn't have the big almond eyes either. She had small, like human eyes, or slightly larger than ours. And I remember screaming out that, where the hell am I? And she spoke to me, but she didn't move her lips. Her voice was in my head,
mm-hmm.
and she just said
so
to me, "Oh,
she was using telepathy."
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. So, do you remember anything that they wanted of you? Do you remember anything that they extracted or tested or implanted?
Well, I forgot to mention also when I woke up, I had this sticky film all over my face, and I felt it on my chest. And thinking back then, from that moment, thinking to my past, this whole sticky thing that I found on my body was something that happened to me when I was 14, and it happened to me when I was 6.
Right.
I discovered this film on my body, but So could, that's how we call.
Could it have been a surgical gel that is used to sanitize the area if they're operating?
I don't know. I would imagine. I don't know why they would be using it, but back when I was a kid, I had no idea where it was going. But I was sat on this table looking at this woman, I'll say, and she said to me in my head, she said, "Yes, you." I thought, "Well, you're not human," and she said, "Yeah, well, I'm partly human," she said. And the next part of the conversation was that she. And I felt this immense, incredible sadness come over me before she said anything. And she said to me, "We are three, Father, and we will meet again." And that's all she said to me. So I was, I thought, well, afterwards, not at that time frame, that this has been going on for a long time, because I made the connection with that stuff that was on my body to two other times when I was a kid.
Right.
And that happened in 1994, and I had another abduction in 2005, it was, yes.
Were they always by the same people, or the same type of people?
Yes, it was all by the same people. I actually saw the craft once when I was standing on a beach in Adelaide in South Australia. It was a partly cloudy day, and I was looking out, and the sun, you know, was going down. So I was watching the sun and looking at the clouds, and these two clouds caught my eye, and they were totally oval in shape, and they were right next to each other. And I thought, well, that's a bit weird. You know, clouds don't normally look like that. And I was thinking in my head, I wish they would come closer. And they started, the two clouds started moving towards me.
Oh, so
my automatic reaction was to look behind me to see if somebody was playing a trick or there was some projection or something. And there was nothing out of the normal behind me. So when I turned and looked back at these clouds, they were moving back to their original position. And I was thinking in my head, well, my God, what is that? And then that's when the two oval-shaped clouds moved together and a craft appeared out of it that was blue. And it was two-dimensional, and you could see portholes, and it was just sat there in the sky, and I thought, gee, I'm seeing a UFO. I can't believe I'm seeing a UFO. And then it just disappeared like that. I ran off the beach to the nearest person I could see in a car who was rolling himself a smoke at the time. And I said, "Did you see those two clouds? Did you see those two clouds?" And he just threw his smoke up into the air. So everything was falling around in his car. And he put his car in the reverse and took off like a bat out of hell.
Oh, wow.
I think he might have thought I was nuts.
Maybe he thought, maybe he caught him smoking a doobie or rolling a doobie. And, you know, maybe he thought that he's... pot day should be over or something, you know, because maybe he saw it, you know, maybe he saw what he saw, and it just didn't. A lot of people out there don't want to talk about it sometimes, Sean. You know, they're afraid that they're going to be treated differently. Pilots were terrified of reporting UFOs, and dozens, if not hundreds, of sightings have been not reported because people are afraid of what society will guess at them, you know. Now, I can't honestly say I've ever had a sighting or I've had any contact or any information that would tell me that, you know, it was what it was. So
right.
Until that happens, I guess you call me skeptic, but skeptic,
yes.
But skeptic with a sense of I get this. I guess I get how this could happen. You know?
Well, that would be a lot of people, even people who have had an experience of seeing a UFO, or they think they've seen a UFO, they'd still be, you know, skeptic until it actually happens to you. You're quite right. Even when it did happen to me, I went through a period of from 94 to 95 quite easily, where I thought I was literally insane.
Yeah.
From what the stuff was happening to me that was really not of this world. And I didn't have anyone to share it with because I opened up once to a friend and they just laughed in my face. And I thought, who the hell do I talk to?
Right.
Actually, I went to the point of seeing a doctor and then putting me onto a psychiatrist. And he tried to make the association after we'd speak, had a chat for a while, that my connection with UFOs was related to my childhood because I was abused as a child, and he made that connection. But I couldn't see it myself, how that would make me see something in the sky that was really quite physical. And this person sat in front of me who was a physical form. But you're quite right. Even to this day, I sometimes think it's not quite real, but
I'm with you on that. Let me just do a quick break here, Sean. Let me just say that for all of the people on the Blog Talk Radio Network, we will be clearing the airwaves at the top of the hour in about 30 seconds. We're going to go in a few more minutes on the show because I'm liking what I'm hearing from Sean, and I want to give him some equal time and get all of this information out because he is going to come back with us, and we are going to get to the bottom of all this. So you are listening to Night Talk Radio. We will be on again in between Christmas and New Year's. So those people on Blog Talk Radio, thank you. And good evening. You are listening to Night Talk Radio Overtime. We're going to rock and roll tonight.
The Kepler satellite has identified 2,000 planets orbiting other star systems. So tonight, when you look at the night sky, realize that somebody could be looking back at you. Now, if there is a...
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Night Talk Radio, and we are moving into the final 30 minutes with Sean out of Australia. And Sean, sorry to interrupt you on that, but we were about to lose one of our repeaters, so I thought I'd better say goodnight to them before they get all upset that they're going to miss the last little bit of the show, because I kind of dragged my feet with 3 guests in 2 hours with just a little much tonight, because all of you are fantastic people. And Sean, I appreciate this information you bring forward, and I understand that you do have an e-book or a book that outlines the happenings. Am I correct?
Yes, it's my from a young age into this age that I am now. I'm now 55, and it documents my actual life with them, the paranormal and UFO abduction. It's called The Eternal Circle of Shadows. It's on Amazon.com, and it's a very cheap read. It's only $3.92. I really didn't do it for the money. I wanted to get my story out there because when all this was happening to me back in 94, I actually thought about writing it in 95, but I stopped it, and I'm glad I did, because a hell of a lot more has happened to me since that time to now. So
so I'm hoping that sooner or later there'll be a compendium to that book, so that you can update, you know, from then until whenever you write the book again, because I think your gift, whatever it is getting stronger. And I believe that if there are aliens or people from other worlds or universes dealing with the humans, then they are most definitely curious as to why do you think the way you do, and why does Fred Jones think the way he does, when we are both genetically the same human being. And I think that must perplex a lot of people that are not of Earth, not of this world.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are, I'll go out there in a string sort of thing, a lot of people are being abducted and they're not even aware of it. Because they're very good at concealing things in your brain. You haven't got a clue. The majority of the people around the world who can afford a television are glued to the television most of the time. Okay. And I think that's the box that keeps you in the house. So you're never outside the house to see what else is going on around the house or in your neighborhood. You're after a certain time at night, you're at home.
Right.
And And I think a lot of people out there might not even be aware of what's going on around the world in relation to UFOs and to our spirit realm as well.
And especially if there is a time-altering continuum there. If you can be abducted and only believe you have been gone for seconds, moments, minutes, you know, could there be a mass psychosis? Could a town, could thousands of people be affected at the same time?
Well, Arthur, you've hit the nail on the head there, because I can tell you an experience of mine. I used to walk on this part of the beach, and I was out one night. It was and I was coming home via the Esplanade, which is a road right next to the beach. And I remember walking. This is about 11 p.m. at night. And I was looking down at this couple who were lying on the sand, and they were obviously cuddling. And I was looking at them, and I'm thinking, well, you know, they're not moving. How come they're not moving? And my eyes were drawn up to the horizon, and there's this big orange ball. And this was at 11 p.m. at night, so it right. couldn't have been the sun. And I was standing there looking at that, and then I realized I was frozen in the spot. And the only thing that I could move was my head. And I moved my head to the left, look around, and there was houses behind me. And I saw this group of people at a table standing up with glasses in their hand, drinks, beer bottles, etc. And they were all touching each other's glasses as if to say cheers. But they were all frozen. They were just stood there.
Interesting.
And I thought, I moved back to look at the people on the sand, and then it just everything returned to normal, just like that. So I think you're not far wrong from saying there's maybe a mass psychosis.
Well, there has to be something, because you know a story that doesn't have legs usually doesn't continue for very long, and this has been through the end of time since the beginning of time. That any written word, they've always talked about that other world, that future world, or that spiritual realm. And there's always seems to have been a connection throughout history regarding that. So that's where I come from. And given that, it seems logical to me that if everything that we do and every action we take has an equal and an opposite reaction, according to Newton's theory, then obviously there has to be that other world. There has to be that equal and opposite. There has to be. That's the balance of nature. So there has to be at least two.
Well, you know, I wish there was some way of exposing it all. As far as the UFO side of it is concerned, I know for sure that here in Australia, the military are in on it. They must know what's going on, because I remember standing in my bathroom, looking out through a window that overlooked houses, and I was looking down at the houses. I was just standing at the toilet. And these big white spotlights were going over the houses. And I looked, sort of tried to look outside of the window, and I thought I was going to see helicopters or something. And I didn't see anything at all. Oh, and then all of a sudden that blue craft appeared again. And that freaked me out. So I ran outside to the back parking lot of the hotel I was staying in. And all I heard was this ginormous noise, and it was two military jets that were coming along, and they were chasing it. They were moving along with the blue craft, or trying to, because they couldn't keep up. But, yeah, and this part of Brighton in South Australia, they don't have any military bases, and you never hear military jets, ever. That was a first. So I think some way the military know what's going on. I don't know if they know what is going on, but I think some governments might do.
Could it be advanced military tactics? Could they be perpetrating a ruse to conduct military actions?
Well, possibly. Yes, why not? Nothing would surprise me.
Yeah. because I think that's what's happened is there is truth in the stories, but I think they have woven enough fiction and enough gobbledygook to turn it into a news titillation story or a, you know, a byline in the newspaper, or if they're running out of serious news, then let's go for a giggle here. You know, the Mayan apocalypse, the 2012. There was no news agency that took it seriously at all. But even with tongue in cheek, there wasn't any news agency that really covered it on the human level. There was millions of people on this earth that were very concerned that, in fact, history was going to repeat itself and history was going to tell the truth.
Yes, well, you know, it's a never truer sentence, really. History does repeat itself. Sure, at some point that we'll all bite the big one. Like, for instance, you know, what happened in Bosnia during the Civil War. I mean, concentration camps were there again, and they were there in the Second World War. So I don't think we're not very good at picking up lessons, I don't think, as a species.
When I was a kid in the 60s, we were concerned about the big one, the bomb. And that was going to be, that was going to happen, you know? And when JFK put the embargo on Cuba and the Bay of Pigs and all of that, we were pretty well prepared for the button being pushed. It was that close, apparently. So we lived under that threat and we came through it. And I think this 2012 is one of those similar tests of the mettle of the nations, you know? I really do. I think it's a time that gives a person an opportunity to make that, turn that corner if they want to.
Well, you know, these things, I always go for the positive rather than the negative.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that people around the world who are happy still to be here, I'd be one of them, that they take a positive out of the whole experience, because there's too much negativity, especially among our Australian youth. I don't know about the Canadian youth, but there's a lot of kids out there who carry knives, and I've never got that, I've never understood it, but they say it's for protection.
It's getting pretty rough compared to. You know, I don't, you know, I swore, Sean, I swore that when I grew up and became an adult, I would not repeat the phrases that my parents used on me. But in my day, there was a good knuckle scrap and maybe once in a while a pair of brass knuckles. And once in a very rare while, maybe a switchblade or two. But that was it. That was it, and that was the total of a fight, and it wasn't a punch the guy to death, you know. It was,
no,
you know. Now there seems to be no value for life.
There's no boundaries. The boundaries are being crossed.
Yeah. Now is that because of you know, the hippies and love and power and peace, and we've become too liberal, and then we've stepped over some magic line, or is that because society is evolving past those boundaries that we had previously imposed on people? What do you think?
Yeah, well, you got a point there. I think it would have kept it under check if we had if we were in a different decade, of course. And my time growing up, you respected things around you and people around you. But the kids of Australia don't appreciate what they've got. And I appreciate it because I grew up in a war zone in Northern Ireland as a kid. And when I came here, it was just, I just had this immense feeling of relax situation.
Right.
I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yep.
And they don't seem to have that. They just, and they don't, the adults also don't seem to care. There's a lot of adults out there who don't care about how their kids are growing up. Or even how they are. It's amazing to me how they treat their children. And Yeah, there's no control.
And what do you think, given that, Sean, what do you think is the reasoning for this? Is this just a bad direction that society has taken, or is somebody consciously steering us in different social directions? Are we being manipulated by a greater power?
Well, that's a good point. Possibly. Obviously, violence doesn't help anyone, but who knows who's behind the manipulation?
Well, it's a hell of a population control, isn't it? War is a hell of a population control.
Is our own reality real? I mean, you could talk for hours about this, and I'm of the opinion that, you know, I've always thought that my personal life has been controlled in some way for me to have certain experiences and for me to meet certain people. I actually dream of people before I meet them. I've been doing that for years. My best friend, I dreamt of him and meeting on a bus, and that's what happened. it makes life easier because you're sort of more laid back with it, not so stressed out about things in life. But this is the way I've been. This works for me. That's what I'm saying, is that I take it as it comes, and, you know, if I'm in a sticky situation, well, I wait for that situation to pass.
Yep. Always look on the bright side of life, my brother. I appreciate your time. Now, how can people find your book again?
They can go on Amazon.com and look up Eternal Circles of Shadows.
Okay. And if you'd send me a JPEG of your front cover, Sean, I'll make sure we get it up on the Night Talk site, and we'll try and get a link back to Amazon, and they'll be able to feed through the nighttalkradio.com website and get to your book. It's been an absolute pleasure, sir. I'm absolutely impressed that we had a live link to our friends in Australia listening to our show, and that you were out there, and good on you, mate.
Well, that's all your listeners, wherever they are, on that side of the world. Merry Christmas to you all, and Merry Christmas to you, Colin.
And you too, my friend, and blessings on your household. And I hope everything comes of value and of truth to you, because you truly deserve it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's all. We went over time. In the archives, this show will be extra time. So those people pulling down from the archives are going to have a surprise. Until the next time, I'm Colin Knight.
Hey there. Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition. This has been a TerraChat Network production. www.terrachatnet.com.